If you have your Bibles this morning, if you'll turn to John chapter 16, verse 1. Could we stand for the reading of the Word of God? John chapter 16 and verse 1. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh, that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father, nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Now when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment, of sin, because they believe not on me. Father, we are glad this morning for the Spirit of God that we have felt in this service. We realize this morning that we are dependent on you. I am dependent on you, Lord, to help me to deliver your message. And Father, this congregation is dependent on the work of the Spirit of God to receive the Word of God, the message of the Lord. I pray that there would be somebody in this service this morning that would take home with them a touch from heaven, a word from God that would do them good, not only in time, but all eternity. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would speak to hearts and you would change lives and you would help us this morning to worship you for who you are and what you have done for us. And we'll give you the glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to preach this morning for a few minutes on convicted by unbelief, or convicted of unbelief. In my text this morning, we see the essential mission of the Holy Ghost is to represent Christ on this earth. He is on a mission to convince the world that Caiaphas was wrong. Now, you know who Caiaphas is. Caiaphas is the high priest of the Jewish nation that held trial, Jesus' trial. During that trial, they're seeking for false witnesses. They can find none to agree until they finally find two that say, this man said he would tear down the temple and build it back in 3 days. But Jesus did not say he would tear down the temple. He said, you tear down this temple, talking about the temple of his body, and I will build it back in 3 days. When they could not find any grounds for which to condemn Jesus, Caiaphas the high priest cut to the crux of the matter and said, are you the Christ, the Son of God? And Jesus said, I am. And he said, we don't need any further witnesses. This man has spoken blasphemy. And so on those grounds, the Jews convicted Jesus of blasphemy. Now the Holy Ghost has come into this world and he's on a mission defined in chapter 15 and verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, Jesus said, he shall testify of me. He is in this world to convince the world that Caiaphas was wrong, that Jesus was not guilty of blasphemy. When he said, I am the Christ, the Son of God, Jesus was not guilty of blasphemy. He was really telling the truth. And the Holy Ghost has come to convince the world that Jesus was really telling the truth. The world condemned him, convicted him, hung him on a cross. But the Holy Ghost is here to convince men that the world was wrong about Jesus. And you know, not only is the Holy Ghost here to witness to the innocence of Christ and the greatness of Christ, but there is a twofold witness. He said in chapter 15 and verse 27, ye also shall bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. So not only is the Holy Ghost here testifying to the greatness of Jesus, but he said, you also, the church, the disciples of Jesus, you also shall bear witness of the greatness and goodness of Jesus Christ. Brother, this defines our mission in life. Our mission in life is not to make life comfortable for ourselves. Our mission in life is to convince people of the greatness of Jesus Christ. The Bible said in Acts 1 and 8, Jesus said to his disciples, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, unto the uttermost parts of the earth. The Holy Ghost comes to equip the church, the disciples of Jesus. He comes to equip us with the power to be effective ambassadors for Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Look at the attitude of the world toward Jesus. Jesus said to his disciples, marvel not if the world hate you. They hated me first. Here was the attitude of the world toward Jesus. They hated him. You know, there was a lot of people interested in Christ because of his miracles. There were wonderful things that Jesus was doing. Everybody was ready to receive the benefits of those miracles of mercy that Jesus was doing. Healing the blinded eyes, straightening out crippled limbs, raising the dead back to life. Multitudes followed him because they were curious and interested in receiving the benefits of the miracles of Jesus Christ. It's only when Jesus opened his mouth and began to speak that people began to have problems with Jesus Christ. Because not only had he come here to demonstrate the power of God and the mercy of God and the goodness of God, but he had come here to bear witness to the truth. And when Jesus began to speak the truth, men began to walk away from him because they could not handle the light that Jesus brought into this world. And so the world hated Jesus and they crucified him. Jesus spoke to his disciples and let them know that the attitude of the world toward Jesus will be manifested in their attitude toward those people who are bearing witness to his name. He said in the first part of my text, these things have I spoken unto you that you should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. The time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. In other words, people will kill the disciples of Jesus and think they're doing the will of God. And really, that literally came to pass. In the life of the Apostle Paul, before he got saved, he was killing the disciples of Jesus, imprisoning the people of God, and doing it because he thought he was doing the will of God. But the attitude of the world toward Jesus is manifested in their attitude toward those who speak in his behalf. There's a difficult mission. The Spirit has a difficult mission. His mission is to convince men of sin. Jesus said when he comes, he will convince the world of sin because they believe not on me. My, what a difficult mission to convince men of sin. Not many people are sinners in their own eyes. No. It's very difficult to find sinners. Most people are offended by any suggestion that they might be sinners. And the Holy Ghost has come to convince the world of sin. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 2, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. Very difficult for men to acknowledge I'm a sinner. But the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's not one man living that has not transgressed the law of God, who has not been rebellious against the will of God, who has not had a heart set against doing what God wants him to do. And so, since all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, everybody needs a Savior. And the Holy Ghost has come into the world to convince men of sin. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins, that is, if we agree with the Holy Ghost. If I agree with the Holy Ghost that I have sinned, if I agree with the Holy Ghost that I need a Savior, I can have forgiveness of sins if I will agree with the Holy Ghost. This is what He's doing in this world. He's come to convince men of sin. He convinces them, listen to this. He convinces them of sin because they believe not on Jesus. So what He's doing is, He's convincing men that lack of faith in Jesus is sin. Sufficient sin to take a soul to hell. In fact, it's the root of all other sin to reject the message of Jesus Christ. You know, we minister in a generation that feels like there is no absolute truth. One person that I heard speaking at Averett College, part of the faculty there, at a graduation ceremony, I won't mention whose, but and they're not responsible, but this person said that they considered people who say that they know the truth to be the most dangerous people in the world. People who say that they know the truth. The Lord gave me a message out of that. My message was the most dangerous man in the world, and his name is Jesus, because he said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Hallelujah. Oh yeah. He's the most dangerous man in all the world. If anybody can say, I know the truth and be dangerous, Jesus said, I am the truth. Praise God. Well, to not believe in Him, to reject His message, to reject His work is sin. So you understand, everybody in the world, no matter how sincere they may be in their religion, but if they reject Jesus, they have sinned. And this is the message of the Holy Ghost. He is here to convince men of sin because they believe not on Jesus Christ. Friday night, I was in the prison preaching. And in my message, I told Brother Mike and my family about it. It was unusual. In my message, I began to deal with some competition for Jesus in our nation. Secular humanism and Islam. And as I began to deal especially with Islam, boy, I had a frozen crowd. My, it was just like people were looking around afraid. You know, I don't know what was going on. I didn't know all those guys in there. But I didn't know why they were so frozen. But they just really looked like they were afraid of what I was saying. And there was a guard standing right over there listening. And I don't know if they were afraid of that guard, or they were afraid of somebody in that service, or what. But as I began to deal with that, and I began to tell them of how important Jesus was and how important it was that we be loyal to Jesus, because Jesus is the one that saved us. Jesus is the one that died for us. Jesus is the one that rose again from the dead. Jesus is the one that gave us hope and delivered us from our sins. And I began to relate to them how the Lord had saved my dad. What a difference Jesus had made in our family. And brother, out of the blue, the Holy Ghost fell on me and began to speak in another language. And I began to praise the Lord. And I've never done that in the prison and never expected that whatsoever. But the Holy Ghost fell on me just like that as I was telling them about the goodness of Jesus Christ. Seemed to break that ice a little bit. Hallelujah. When the Holy Ghost came. Because He is here for the purpose of glorifying the Son of God. He is here to convince men that Jesus is worthy of their trust. He is here to convince men that there's nobody else that can save them but Jesus. Nobody else shed His blood but Jesus. Nobody else died for us but Jesus. Nobody else rose again from the dead but Jesus. Nobody could say but Jesus, I have power to lay down my life. I have power to take my life up again. There's nobody but Jesus who could say to His enemies, you want a sign? Watch my grave. On the third day, I'm coming out of the grave. Nobody but Jesus could say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody but Jesus could say that. Hallelujah. And the Holy Ghost has come to convince us that Jesus is the real Savior. That Jesus will do to trust. He convinces men that lack of faith in Jesus is sin. To not believe on Jesus is sin. Hey, thou men of the heathen, that do not believe on Jesus, that would shame professed Christians in their moral behavior.
Yes, amen.
Oh yeah. The Islamic world carries a grudge toward Christians because they feel like the Christians have imported immoral behavior into their society. The movies, the way of dress, the immodesty. They feel like the Christians have corrupted their society by the immoral things that have been pumped into their societies by America, by Europe. And it's to our shame. But that's not the whole story. A man can be moral and be lost. Very moral and be lost. Many of the ancients, the Roman ancients, who were noble people, who studied morality, who studied to be very honorable in their behavior and deportment, and many of the Christians admired the status they attained in moral behavior. But that's not enough to save a man. The Holy Ghost is here to convince men of sin because they do not believe on Jesus. Here is the root of sin. And it doesn't matter if I never cuss and never drink and never run around with wild women and never do the things that the world does. If I leave Jesus out of my life, I have sinned grievously against God who gave us His only begotten Son to save us from our sins. There's evidence of believing in Jesus. Evidence of believing in Jesus is that you receive the messengers that represent Him. Jesus said, if they hear me, they will hear you. If they don't hear you, they don't hear me. So, here's part of the evidence of believing in Jesus is that we believe those who represent Him to us, who bring His message to us. We receive the message of Jesus Christ. Listen to this. You cannot believe on Jesus and argue with what Jesus has to say.
Bless Him,
I said, you cannot believe on Jesus and argue with what Jesus has to say. If I believe on Jesus, I believe what Jesus said. I can take this word of God, find out what Jesus said. If Jesus said it, I believe it. Because if I believe on Jesus, I believe what Jesus believed. Not only do I believe what Jesus believed, but I walk like Jesus walked. He that saith that he knoweth God, he said, and he doesn't keep his commandments, he's a liar. He said, if we say we believe on him, let us walk even as he walked. So my faith in Jesus is a transforming faith. I believe in him so that I walk even as he walked. This is the evidence of my faith in Jesus Christ. The Bible says in John chapter 3 and verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. My, there's nobody that has demonstrated such love for you greater than the love Jesus had for you. It is beyond me that people are so hostile to the name of Jesus when Jesus has done so much to save us from our sins, to keep us out of hell, to provide an open door into heaven for us. Why would we despise the name of Jesus or dishonor that name through our behavior? Why would we not honor that name to the highest, realizing how good Jesus has been to us? I've told you this many times before. Sister Judy, I want you to come to the piano. Kara, my little girl, when she was little, we were training her, you know, to memorize Bible verses. And the first one we tried to teach her was John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And she got it down pretty good. But she kept saying one word wrong. For God so loved me that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And I would correct her and I'd say, Kara, it doesn't say that. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And she'd get it straight. And then the next day she'd go back, for God so loved me that he gave his only begotten Son. And this went on and on. And finally, I quit. I quit trying to correct her. I said, surely the Lord must want her to understand that Calvary was specifically for her. There was a great Bible scholar, Scofield, who said, if God had said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that if C.R. Scofield would believe on him, he wouldn't perish but have everlasting life. He said, if he'd have put my name in the Bible, I'd have always wondered, was there another C.I. Scofield somewhere else? And did he really mean me? But when he said, whosoever, he said, I knew that included me. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm glad that those arms of Jesus wrapped around us all and said, whosoever will believe on me shall not perish but have everlasting life. Mm-hmm. Those arms are beckoning to us this morning. If you don't know Jesus, oh my, if you don't know Jesus, you're missing out on the greatest blessing of life. Jesus wants you to know Him. He invites you to come to Him. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Let's stand together. Maybe there's a soul here. You don't know Jesus, but you realize this morning through the power of the Holy Ghost, you realize that Jesus loves you.